Welcome to the first episode of The Glass Child. In this podcast, we'll be discussing what is a glass child, some studies on it, some people's personal experiences, and what we can do to change this pattern for future generations.
So, just to define what a glass child is, you know, a glass child is someone who was often overlooked or neglected with their direct family because their sibling has some sort of special needs, whether it be a mental illness or a health issue. They just don't get that sort of attention and care that they would in comparison to a child without a sibling who has these issues.
Yeah, a lot of children like this are often hyper-independent. They feel need to be perfect, and they struggle with setting boundaries and pleasing others. These effects like often go and show in their future relationships and how they interact with people and just in general the world.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you think of a glass child, you don't really think of them to have that sort of, like, those sort of issues because, you know, they're supposed to be the strong sibling. They're supposed to be the sibling that's supposed to care for their sibling and be able to not be an issue, not really feel those effects. But they're just supposed to be, oh, yeah, you're doing good, but we're not going to be proud of you because you're just doing your job.
Exactly. Yeah, they feel like they have to please others, and they feel like what they do isn't exactly something that others should be proud of, or that it's not an accomplishment because it's normal, and that they have to be this normal because they have to take on this caretaker role, and they need to show strength for their sibling and their family.
Oh, yeah. That's just an insight onto what a glass child really is. But throughout this podcast, we're going to be going and talking about, for example, case studies like McCullough and Simon from 2011, Shivers and Dykens from 2017, and the Rainbow Trust, the study, from 2018. So those are just three in the meta-analysis we're going to be covering in the case studies and other episodes. But we're not just talking about that, but we're also talking about personal experience, parents' errors, and what we can really do to stop glass children or people with glass child syndrome to continue feeling so lonely and have to go to independence and maturity when in reality they should be able to be a kid in their childhood.
Exactly. Yeah. For this podcast, we just want to bring awareness about what we can do for these children and how we can change their futures for the better, and how we can make it so that they have a more comfortable future and that we won't have these issues of being isolated and not being able to find help, because a big issue is that they cannot find help often, because a lot of the times it's focused on the family and the children with the special needs, but they often isolate or overlook the children, multiple or one, with no issues, who are seen to be normal.
Exactly. And it's really great that we're paying so much attention to it because, you know, this is a pretty new study. Obviously, the dates that I mentioned were 2011 and up. So it is pretty new. So it's not just that, but even now, we still get a lot of words like, you know, just deal with it. It's not that big of an issue because you're not the one with an illness or some sort of disability because it's not you. When in reality, I believe everybody deserves to have that sort of attention and a great support system despite other factors because of the people around them. Everybody should have that opportunity to, you know, parental attention and affection just the way that everybody else should be.
Yeah, exactly. And even in public, like, you can't really notice when someone is a glass child or when they genuinely have, like, some other issues in their own. And so it's so hard to identify with other people if you are a glass child, because finding those other people who are similar to you is so difficult. Like, you can't just point someone out with that, like, in the public. Exactly. When you're talking to them, like,
and that's why it's so hard to get that support system, because, like, your family, they're more focused on your sibling, and even your friends, unless you speak up to them about it, they don't know what you're going through.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so difficult for them to find that help, and it's like it's not fair to them that everybody around them is able to get that help, but they cannot, because they can't find people or groups that are similar to them.
Of course. And it's not only, like, it's not dismissing any other issues, because every issue is valid. Like, for example, their sibling has something serious and they deserve affection and attention, but that doesn't take away from the attention and care that glass children should get as well.
Totally, yeah. Like, these children also need help. And, of course, like you said, like, we're not invalidating other people's, things. Because, of course, everyone has their issues and everyone has it. But, again, we can't invalidate the child who's supposed to be healthy and mentally well. We can't invalidate their feelings either. And we have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, because even if we try to, hey, take a little less support from them and give it to the child who a lot of people think needs the help, then that's just, it's just counterproductive, you know? Because they're supposed to be healthy, they're supposed to be happy, because a lot of people like to believe, oh, you have no issues, how could it amount to anything that your sibling has to deal with because you don't have that? But they're getting those issues created because of a lack of support, and that's, it's so great that we're doing a podcast on this because we're getting that attention there.
Totally, yeah. And it's, there's a lot of it, you see a lot of signs in teenagers, but again, like, because they're giving so much attention to those other, to that other sibling, like, you don't notice those symptoms. Like, a lot of teenagers, they find things they used to find interesting, they lose interest, or they're not doing well in school anymore and they won't open up about it, and issues like that, which sometimes are common for kids with mental issues. But overall, you can't overlook that. You have to talk to them. Like, you have to acknowledge that there might be something going on there. You can't just ignore it and, like, sweep it under the rug.
And what stresses it so much is that it's not just kids, because although it starts in the childhood, it develops, and it doesn't stop until you really get some sort of change in environment and actually receive that support that you needed.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, that change, if you don't stop that early, that can take long-term effect into their adulthood. And then once they're in adulthood, those coping mechanisms that they form as a child, they'll carry on into their adulthood, and issues can become something bigger, and they can affect their professional life, their social life, and can just make a life a lot more difficult for their child.
Oh, absolutely. And the good thing about it is that it's not all bad things. Like, it's not just the feelings of loneliness and isolation, which they do feel, it's very important, but it's also in a sense, it can be helpful, because, like you mentioned, the coping skills, studies show that they actually have greater coping skills and maturity and empathy for other people. So we don't want to paint it as if it's just something bad, because although we wish that no kid would have to deal with this, it does have some positive outcomes. Like, for example, the empathy and compassion for other people and wanting to do good for others.
Yeah, of course, like that. Those are some skills that we'll carry out with them in life. And, of course, there are some positives to every situation. But, like, also there's the issues that won't help. But you have to also look at both sides of the story. Absolutely. Like, not everything's just going to bring 100% harm. So sometimes they could be... Sometimes it can be difficult for these kids to do stuff, but also you do have to look at the positive.
That's for sure. Yeah. Okay, but that's just our introduction onto this podcast, talking about the glass child and glass child syndrome. We're going to wrap this episode up. That's just an introduction to what we'll be talking about in the next few episodes.
Yeah, in the next episode, we will be going into case studies, so be there for the next one. Thank you.
Thank you.